The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Please stay in your home. Please do not leave your house. The apocalypse is here. Earth and all of its inhabitants will soon be consumed in flames. Flames that will burn forever and yet never consume. Because Obama's net neutrality regulations are dead. Yes, I said it. They are dead. Please do not panic. Now, if you've read anything from the press or if you read anything from the left, that's exactly how they're treating this. They took the news that the FCC voted 3-2 to get rid of net neutrality really, really hard. They are now writing their wills, their last testament. They're writing to everyone that will listen to them. Their dramatic and misinformed post on stone tablets so they can be buried and found in years to come. The hyperbolic statements from the left about the vote on net neutrality would make you think that the internet has been tortured and killed, that we'll never be able to communicate with each other. Here's the reality. The repeal of these regulations will not affect your life or their life whatsoever. And yet, we're all going to die. The vote was briefly delayed yesterday after security had to clear the room and conduct a search for a possible bomb threat. Oh yeah, no, the left is not violent. It begs the question, why are they emotional train wrecks over net neutrality? By the way, do you know who wrote net neutrality? Yeah, because this is going to protect the little guy. Google wrote net neutrality. Rescinding the Obama-era regulations are going to return us to the Stone Age of 2015. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Do you remember how bad the internet was in 2015? We're going to go back there. People are going to starve to death. People will die of cancer. There will be bodies in the streets, and you won't have... You're all going back to dial-up. We're all going back to... Beep, boop. It's going to happen. May I ask, have you seen a difference in the internet in a bad way or anything in the last 2 years? A good way, bad way, anything? The imagined hell of living without the internet. Can you imagine it? It's supposed to bring us to the edge of despair. And it goes to show us that we are all closer to chaos than we think. The only reason people think they want net neutrality is because it sounds nice, like the Patriot Act. I'm a patriot. Net neutrality. Well, I'm neutral. The internet can only remain truly neutral if no one can get their grubby hands on it, if the government keeps its hands off of it. And that, in reality, is what the FCC voted to do yesterday.
It's Friday, December 15th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't know if you can even hear us today, if you could even log on the internet today because of the defeat of net neutrality. I don't know what we're going to do.
I mean, the internet was horrible in 2015.
Horrible.
Horrible. What had happened between, say, 1994 and 2015 on the internet? Anything positive? No.
Nothing.
Nothing ever.
It didn't grow.
No, it didn't grow. It didn't get any better. And now it's gonna revert back to those old days. I mean, if you're not on, if you have anything other than a dial-up modem today, you're within the wealthiest 1%. Because you're back to 2600 baud.
Right. 26. I only have 6400.
Well, that's more, isn't it?
Oh, is it more? Did you say 2600? Oh, 2600. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm one of the ones.
You are. Yeah, that's you. That is. It's funny. There's a a big viral tweet that was, you know, 162,000 retweets, 208,000 likes. Here's what it says. Twitter, $14.99 a month. Snapchat, $9.99 a month. YouTube, $19.99 a month. Netflix, $9.99 per movie. Google.
Per movie.
Google, $1.99 per search. If you don't want to pay extra for your favorite sites, you need to be supporting net neutrality.
Do you really think, do you really think that's possible?
Well,
I mean, no one would, no one would do it. I mean, if that was, if that really was the reality, I have faith in the people in Silicon Valley that they will come up with something new.
Right.
Because somebody will say, you know what? $9.99 a month was a lot of money for Netflix. They're now charging $9.99 per movie. They pissed off a lot of people. I think I can do it for a little cheaper.
There's so much here, though, to pick apart. First of all, under net neutrality, all of these things would, could happen.
Yes.
Twitter absolutely can charge $14.99 a month on their own. And notice how they're not acting, asking for regulations on Twitter to keep Twitter free. They're asking only on the ISP side. Which is such a strange thing. Like, they, this is a battle between giant multi-billion dollar corporations and giant multi-billion dollar corporations for control, for their money, and people are acting as if they should be involved in it.
People don't know history. We are going through the same history that we went through in the 1800s with the trains. We went through in the 1940s with the auto industry. We're going through it again. And here's what's happening. Those with gobs and gobs of money are going to the government and saying, pass this legislation because it protects the auto worker. Does it, GM? Or does it put the innovator out? Does it put the cord out? Does it put the Auburn out of business? Does it put the cheaper tire, the better tire out of business because BF Goodrich and Goodyear Tire were the ones who came together and wrote the legislation and said, yeah, here, government, protect the worker. And it put everybody who was competing out of business. That's what's happening. Google wrote net neutrality.
They like it. But like, if you like, if unless you want to get giant companies more wealthy, then you will support net neutrality. What do you think Google is supporting it for? Why do you think these companies are supporting it? Because they think it's better for them.
I don't know how everybody hates Walmart, but just has no problem Google. With Google.
Netflix is
they're in their basement creating life.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, there's we lost some jobs in Milwaukee, and I hate those guys. By the way, have you seen Google? I love these guys. They're playing Frankenstein in their basement, and they're probably creating a monster that's going to kill and enslave all of us. But man, they're great, aren't they? Look at they put like little lefty things up above their box. I love it.
It's wonderful. And then they have the idea that. A lot of people, there are a few conservatives who like this, a few people in our audience that actually like net neutrality. And one of their complaints is, hey, look, you know, hey, you guys, if anybody should be in support of net neutrality, because let's say, some big ISP, Verizon, decides they don't like the Blaze and they could block customers' access to the Blaze. How are people getting on the internet? Is it our job? No. Verizon has invested multiple billions of dollars in infrastructure to get you on the internet. If they want to block all conservative sites, they should be allowed to do it. Now, that is a terrible business model for
them. Horrible.
They'll lose half the country and people will go to other companies that will support the material that they want. However, that is not something the government needs to be involved
in. Here's the thing. This happened with the phone systems and with electricity. They're getting so big. Everybody needs it. We should make it a utility. Yes, let's make it utility. That way, the government can regulate absolutely everything. Now, let me tell you what we're up against. First of all, if the utilities were not utilities, if we could actually just get power and we had competitors on power, it would be a completely different world. If we could compete, but no, it's a utility, so we cannot compete that way. Let me tell you what's coming. This is the first year that solar power is parity with, I want to say, natural gas, but I'm not sure, in price. It's still not reasonable to have everybody go to solar power, but in the next 10 years, it will be. And the people who are most concerned about it are the utilities. And here's what the utilities are warning against. It is going to become so cheap that in probably a 10-year period that you will start to have a line growing up where people are saying, you know what, I want to do solar panels. And because so many people will disconnect and cut the cord from the utility and be independent, that you won't be able to maintain the utilities for the rest of the country. You won't be able to keep the power lines going. It hits 30% of off-grid, and you can't afford to upkeep on just the telephone poles or the wiring. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do? Well, you got to regulate it. No. You know, there are times that you have these big crashes because new technology is coming in. You don't protect the horse and buggy. You don't have the government come in and say, that's too important to get rid of these cars. We got to regulate these cars. No, let the market work. How do we not understand that living in this age where the internet has never been regulated? It's completely free. Tell me how horrible the internet is. It has made many people very wealthy. It has made access to entertainment and information unlike the world has ever seen.
There has never been a more clear and active real world experiment in the idea of limited government than the internet. And look how well it has turned out.
And listen, what they're saying is the little people won't be represented. Look at Egypt. For the first time, because there is an unregulated internet, everyone has a voice. You know the guy that stood in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square? We don't know who that guy is. They scooped him up. He's gone. We have no idea who he is. If the internet would have been as free and as big as it is right now, everyone would know his name. What are we doing? Government, get the hell away from something that works. Okay, coming up in a minute. We saw two movies last night. Stu did the Star Wars duty, because who wants to do that? Well. And I sat almost alone in a movie theater watching Darkest Hour.
The Winston Churchill movie.
Oh my gosh, it's good.
On the Star Wars release date.
I know. I couldn't get tickets. I have tickets for Monday because we were going to take the entire family. And so we all want to go. So there's like 10 of us. We all wanted to go together. Couldn't get them until Monday. And now I want to just cheat. And I'm in the front row. So I'm not going to sit in the front row and watch it. So anyway, no spoilers at all. Well, okay, there is this. Britain wins.
What? Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
Okay. All right.
You just blurt that out?
And I think there were more British actors in Star Wars than there were in the Churchill movie.
Probably true.
The holidays are here and everybody's running around trying to get everything done. Here's an easy gift. It is Say Anything. It's a game called Say Anything. You can get it for yourself. You can get it for your family. You can get it for somebody that you love. It's one of these games where there is no stress. There's no timer. There's no rush. And it's really fun. You gather around the table, and really all you do is you start talking. It's a conversation starter, really. It takes 30 minutes to play, but in those 30 minutes, you are going to learn a ton about your family and your kids. You really will. I mean, we have sat around, and after we play, Tanya and I have looked at each other and went, did you know that? You will discover your children, and your children will discover you. It's not just for kids and families. It's for anybody. Everybody can play. It is Say Anything. While everybody is worried about how am I going to talk to my relatives, Say Anything. Only a few days left before Christmas. Make sure you get a gift that can bring everybody together. It's Say Anything. Available at Target now. Available at Target. The name of the game, Say Anything.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
You know, it's amazing to me, this net neutrality argument, when you look and say, Netflix, they're going to charge more money. Well, okay, maybe not. But let's just think this one through. They're responsible for how much bandwidth?
A third
of today, all the data. A third of all data on the internet.
One website.
One. A third. Now, if they're taking a third, why shouldn't they have to pay people like Comcast more money for that amount? That's craziness.
It's not magic.
Right. Because Comcast will have to build bigger structure to handle all of that data. So... All right, so Netflix doesn't pay Comcast for it, but Comcast has to do it because otherwise it can't handle the load of Netflix. So where are they going to get the money? They're going to charge you more.
You're going to pay for it.
Right, you'll pay it at Comcast or you'll pay it at Netflix, but you will pay it. Here's what happens. If they can't charge more for it, then what? They don't update it. It's not magic. People think that, this is all just free. Well, those big companies, they should pay for it. It doesn't work that way.
And there's an ideological argument that says it's not your right to be on the internet. The government should not be involved in these things. And we can go through that all we want. But everyone likes to make the pragmatic argument of what's going to happen to my Netflix. This has happened one time. And what happened in the one time where Comcast went to Netflix and said, you know what? You're going to have to pay us a bunch of money because you're using all of the bandwidth and, your one website. So you got to pay us, and I think it was $25 million or something like that. You know what happened as a result? The speeds on Netflix got better, not worse. They didn't have to deal with that. They got better. And the net neutrality regulations would allow companies to do this to Netflix hundreds of times before it came to the same cost as what net neutrality will cost you. Because there's a lot of cost built into that as well that no one likes to talk about. Beyond all of this, of course, it's not your freaking right to watch BoJack Horseman. That is not what the government is. The government is not designed to step in to make sure you can get House of Cards whenever you want it. That is not their job. It is not their job to be involved in a business transaction between companies. This is supposed to be only in the most extreme circumstances where the government would be involved in things that are absolutely vital to your life. I'm sorry. I mean, I know Orange is the New Black is wonderful, but it's not life and death.
Yeah, it's not. The Crown is.
Oh, The Crown, obviously. The Crown is.
By the way, do you watch The Crown?
No, I've never seen it. I know you're high on it, though.
Gosh, it's good. It is such a good...
Do you watch shows that aren't about British leaders?
No.
No, okay.
I really don't. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by history. I just love history. And The Crown, every episode you watch, especially in the second season, you will Google and you'll be like, that can't be true. Holy cow, it is. I mean, you're learning, at least I am, I'm learning so much about England and history. I absolutely love it. I love it.
And to polish off the net neutrality conversation here.
Yes.
We should point out that Ajit Pai is a quiet star of this administration.
Ajit Pai is the greatest.
He's the FCC chairman, and he has been fantastic. There's been, you know, we've praised several of the appointments of Trump. He's one of those that doesn't get a lot of the publicity, but he has been fantastic, you know, actually doing the things that have been promised to conservatives, that conservatives and libertarians want. They want the government out of these things, and he's done a lot to move that in the right direction. This is not an easy move for them. You know, it's easy to say net neutrality because 99% of people on the internet who don't know what the hell they're talking about are praising it and saying it's the most wonderful thing in the world, and what a crisis this will be to go back to the Obama era of the internet. But it's not, you know, he's done a great job.
We have one of the most disturbing things and important things to share with you coming up in a minute. And also Bill O'Reilly joins us and a little bit of your weekend next.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck program.
I want to ask you to help change somebody's life. Brian Lukens, he is an Iraq war veteran. He's a county sheriff's deputy. He's a guy who served us his whole life. Wednesday morning, early in the morning, fire crews were called because at 5:30 in the morning, house caught fire. It was an electrical fire of an extension cord plugged into a space heater. This happens all the time in the Northeast. People will plug in a space heater and then it'll either be too close to something and it'll catch on fire. This was actually an electrical problem. Now, this is the home of Brian, the Iraqi war veteran. He and his wife escaped along with their 9-year-old daughter. But their 11-year-old and 6-year-old son did not make it out. They were found inside the bedroom that they both shared. The daughter has been airlifted, and mom was rushed to the hospital. Brian is in the hospital, injuries in the burn unit at Lehigh Valley Hospital in Pennsylvania. His wife and his daughter have been released. Dad is still in the hospital. This family has been devastated, and they don't have a home. There's a GoFundMe page that has been set up. It's GoFundMe.com Lukens Family Fund. LUKENS Family Fund. I'll tweet this out. We'll put this on along with a story at GlennBeck.com. But if you can, even $5, they have a goal of $350,000. They have already raised $243,000. But if we could make this happen before Christmas, it would sure be a great Christmas present for a family that has just been devastated. GoFundMe.com, Lukens Family Fund. Find out more about it at GlennBeck.com. We'll post it soon. All right. Last night, we did a double movie duty. Stu went to Star Wars, and I went to see the new movie about Winston Churchill, Darkest Hour, which you must see. Tanya and I went. She went kind of begrudgingly. She's like, what movie is this? I don't remember this. I'm like, every time we see the trailer, we're like, that looks great. And she's like, oh, I don't think I was listening to you. So she went, and it is fantastic. Again, she went with no expectations or anything else, and she's not like the history buff that I am. And she loved it. I loved it. You will fall in love with Churchill.
He's already kind of a fan.
Yeah, no. I am a huge fan of Churchill. I think Churchill is probably one of the greatest men of the 20th century, if not the greatest man of the 20th century. He saved freedom, and it's his darkest hour, and it is phenomenal. You will love it.
I would love to use this segment to make fun of you for going to the Churchill movie when Star Wars is out, yes. But I really want to see it too.
Yeah,
it looks awesome.
It is everything you would hope that it would be. It is awesome. It is a must see.
Wow.
Okay.
So we should start this next segment with a disclaimer, and this is important. First of all, you need to know that Glenn has not seen Star Wars. Therefore, he cannot ruin this movie for you during this segment.
And I am insisting that I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to know. I don't, if you loved it, don't tell me, oh, it's the greatest movie, because then my expectations will be too high. Don't tell me anything that is, you know, surprising or shocking. And don't even tell me I'm seeing these online and it's going to wreck the movie for me. Gosh, I was shocked when I saw, well, I'm not going to tell you, but I was shocked. I don't want to know that.
You got to stay off the internet, really, right now, if you want to see this movie and not have it ruined.
Right. What I really just want to know is, is it better than the first three?
The first three?
No. I mean, the prequels, the, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3.
My opinion is yes, it is better than episodes.
Is there a Jar Jar Binks?
He is. Well, I mean, I can't talk. I don't want to give anything away.
Okay. Sarah, do you have your hand on the dump button? If I ask the wrong question, because we have Stephen Kent. He is the host of the podcast Beltway Banthas. He's been on before. Huge Star Wars fan. Also, you know, a political geek. And Stephen, the same thing goes to you. You cannot spoil this movie.
And I will not, Glenn. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. So Sarah has her hand on the dump button in case something is being said. Stu, I know you don't like spoilers.
I am a big anti-spoiler guy. Yes. So
we will delete anything live. So this conversation at some point may not make sense because we've just edited something out live. Okay. But no spoilers. Does Luke die in the end?
So let me give you general broad strokes. And Stephen, I'd love to get your opinion.
You saw it last night, did you not, Stephen?
I sure did, yeah, okay. With my daughter and my brother.
Okay.
I assumed you were, like, one of the people waiting. I assume, like, my picture of you is that you were waiting in line for this. Does that happen anymore, Stephen?
You know, it really doesn't. Folks, you know, do assigned seating these days, so they don't have to worry about waiting in line for
a
movie. And yeah, it's very strange. It's a weird experience, but yeah, you just show up when you're supposed to show up now. Yeah.
Again, good for the internet. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, capitalism.
Yes.
Thank you, internet. And by the way, I would say, with all the 3D stuff and you know, all the improvements they've made at movie theaters, the assigned seating might be the best thing that they've done. Although the food in the theater is really good too.
No, can I tell you something? I had to go to an art house theater to see this movie with Churchill. Mm-hmm. No, the seats.
Ooh,
when you sit in an old seat that doesn't move back at all, you're like, what? Why don't we just put folding chairs or a bench? There's a lot of great improvements. Okay, Stephen, tell me your thoughts.
Sure. So, My top line thought is that if your reaction to The Force Awakens was like, is this it? Is this all that there is for Star Wars? Reliving old thrills and cheap nostalgia? The answer is now definitively no. There is more to Star Wars that you have never seen or thought of. I would be comfortable saying you've never seen a Star Wars movie like this before.
Okay, so let me... Will you agree with that, Steve?
I think, yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, so don't tell us anything, okay? That's on the border of too much information. And I feel free to say, no, don't, we're not answering this question. Because I don't want to know. I want to know, do we get more information? Don't tell me if it's been solved. Is there an I am your father moment on any of the storylines?
I'm sorry, Congressman. I'm not at liberty to answer that question at this time.
It's a good answer. I do feel like we're sitting at some sort of like congressional hearing and the lights are blaring in our eyes and we have to make sure we say like we have to make sure that we don't give any classified information up.
I'll be Mueller, you be Rosenstein.
Okay. So, Mr. Kent, answer this. Is there a reason for that stupid little character beside Disney saying we can sell a lot of plush toys?
Well, I think you need to have a little respect for that character. It's called a porg. We talked about this.
I know, we did.
Porg, all right?
Yeah.
It serves a nice, cute, comedic function. One thing that I thought was actually clever about that was, you know, they filmed this movie out on an island, and there were actually penguins interrupting the shoot of the movie and coming on and just sort of, like, disrupting all the scenes that they were doing because they were, you know, so tiny and cute. And they were like, you know, if we do this on this island and there are penguins here, like, why not, like, try to create, like, a Star Wars version of these actual creatures? Mm. You know, they were sparse, in my opinion. They served, like, they jumped into the movie at key moments. Not key moments, that would actually be horrible. At really frivolous moments, and it was fun. And
I thought it worked.
The kids who are in the audience enjoyed that. So nothing to worry about there, in my opinion.
Are they wrapping this up? This has nothing to do with this movie. Are they wrapping the Luke and Leia thing up in 9? So
No, I object. You can't ask that question. Sorry, Congressman. Really? We're not answering that question. We're not answering questions about whether storylines are wrapped up in what
movie.
No.
I'm not saying in this movie. I'm saying I asked this question yesterday of you, mm-hmm. and you said you weren't sure. You thought that it wasn't happening. This is not about the movie specifically. I just wanted to know, is this going to be a set of
three again?
Sets of okay. three? That's what I'm asking.
The original plan, right? It was supposed to be 9 movies initially, right. Supposedly. Is it going to end at 9? My guess is no way, right? Like, they're not going to just stop making these things. They're going to go on forever. And good. I like them.
Well, I would say, yes, they are ending this story, the Skywalker tale, after 9. They have tasked Rian Johnson, the director of this movie, with his own original trilogy that is disconnected from these 9 movies that we have gotten from George Lucas's mind. So Rian Johnson apparently performed so well in this movie, they thought it was appropriate to give him something original to go and do that has never been done. So this story is wrapping up after 9.
So is this, wasn't this the movie where they fired the director early on?
That's actually for the movie they haven't even started yet, episode 9. They had Colin Trevorrow, who helmed Jurassic World, directing that movie, and a lot of bad press and sort of some stinker movies from him led to him being ousted.
Okay. All right. So can you place this one? And I'd love to hear this from all of you, and don't no hyperbole. Place this in rankings,
like best to worst Star Wars movies. Yes. Where does this fall?
Yeah. I don't think I can do that, because that reveals whether or not I like this movie, which you said you didn't want to know. So what I would say is,
I mean, I'm trying to have a reason to put you on, Stephen. I mean, right now I'm regretting having this whole segment. I mean,
I don't think it's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong. You can say whether you like it.
Just
movie,
don't
right?
say, oh my gosh, I love this movie.
Don't give your honest opinion if your opinion is something he doesn't want to hear. That's all. That's the only standard.
I'll tell you if your opinion is.
How about this? You give your opinion, and if Glenn thinks it's too much, we'll dump it.
So this movie actually gives you an opportunity to follow Yoda's advice from Dagobah, where he says to Luke, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And I think that that's the most appropriate way to look at this movie, because we now have a Star Wars and a force that is bigger than
ever. I say
ever.
We dump this.
Like, dump this? Okay.
I say dump this. Sarah, mm-hmm. dump this. Mm-hmm. So if you've lost, yeah, you should not have. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that.
I mean, I understand.
But
it's good,
and I didn't understand it. But I don't want to even think about that.
Right. I would say, like, here's my generic. I don't think it's the best Star Wars of all time. I don't think it's the worst Star Wars of all time. I put it in the middle. I think seeing it a couple of times would let me sort out exactly where I put
it. Oh, so is it one that you do want to go see more than once?
I definitely want to see it again.
It has stuff in it that you missed?
Mm-hmm. Yes. To me, yes. I would like to see it again and see how I feel about it. Sometimes with these Star Wars movies, I see it the first time and I have a different impression than I do later.
Yeah.
When you walk into a Star Wars movie, like, you have your expectations set, and when it doesn't meet your expectations, you're kind of disappointed.
Yeah, like when I saw episode one, I walked out disappointed, and then I saw it again, and I hated it. So it's kind of like that,
right?
Where you're not really sure how deep the hatred for George Lucas goes.
I mean, you either see a Star Wars movie and, you know, you're offended because it doesn't match what you think of Star Wars as, and then you kind of ease into it. And I was that way with Rogue One. I walked out of Rogue One not knowing what I had just seen, but I walked out of The Force Awakens in love with it, and that faded over time. Star Wars has a tough balancing act that it has to achieve with all of its legacy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge disappointment. I didn't feel like it was the greatest thing of all time, but it was. I think it did its job.
One last question, Carrie Fisher. Is there CG? Is there CGI of her, or was this all her?
I'm sorry, Congressman. We cannot answer that question. It speaks too much.
All right.
About what we know.
Okay. All right, man. We should put you in the FBI. Thank you very much, Stephen. I appreciate it. God bless.
Hey, y'all have a good day. May the force be with you.
That was the weirdest movie review of all time. But I think it was good. Yeah. I think it's the only kind of movie review I want.
Yeah. I feel like the most dangerous place in the world is when you're showing up to see Star Wars and everyone else is walking out, because everyone else is talking about what they just saw.
Yeah.
You have to like plug your ears and go in.
La, 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 la.
Stephen Kent, you can get him at beltwaybanthas.com. What he does is he does a podcast about how Star Wars and politics intertwine. In like real world Washington D.C. politics with Star Wars, it's a really cool thing that he does, and he's a total Star Wars geek. He knows everything about it, so it's kind of interesting.
When you book your next business trip, make sure you use Upside.com, and here's why. They're going to give you two of the best gifts anybody could give you. First one, free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones, so you can have some peace and quiet on your business trip. And the second one is a concierge, somebody who is almost with you the entire trip, somebody who's going to give you the best travel experience you've ever had. Upside is the only service that has specialists that look out every step of the way on your business trip, handling any problem that might pop up. Their team is hard at work 24/7 to make sure your flight, your hotel, your rental car all go off without a hitch. They're available by demand, by chat, phone, email, whenever you need them. They also monitor your business trip around the clock, proactively keeping you posted. So if there's a weather problem or a delay, they let you know. They want to get you to your meeting and then to home as efficiently as possible. I mean, I've never had experience like that before. I mean, you know, if you have a black card, you don't get that kind of experience. And that's what they promise. Upside delivers. Upside has great prices for flights, hotel, and rental cars. You're not going to beat their price anywhere. Book your first business trip at Upside.com and use the promo. Upside.com/Beck, and you'll get the Bose wireless headphones and all of the great stuff. Minimum purchase is required. See site for complete details. Do it right now. Upside.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
The Week in Review with the one and only Bill O'Reilly. A lot has happened this week, and he'll comment on it next.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
If you Googled the name Rodney Anderson before yesterday, you might think the star running back from the Oklahoma University was a rapist. Anderson's accuser claimed he had raped her on November 16th. And after a few weeks, a friend of hers convinced her to come forward. The story alleged that on the evening of November 16th, Anderson and the accuser had met at a bar. Later that night, she decided to go home with him. It was then that she claimed he raped and bit her. Anderson categorically denied. That's not true. The media exposure, however, just ripped him apart. They piled on. The story seemed yet another domino in the post-Weinstein era. Hollywood, corporations, Washington, giants are falling. It seemed only too obvious that the sporting world was next. That's the mentality we live in. That's what we're dealing with. With 40 plus accusations of sexual misconduct in under 2 months, with everyone falling, we're all waiting with bated breath to find out which industry and which person will be next to fall. Now, up until this point, over the past couple of months, most companies have responded to similar accusations with immediate suspension and termination, and nobody's allowed to even defend themselves. In this new age of instant information and social media, accusation is equal to guilt. One sports analyst summed it up perfectly when he called for Anderson's suspension on an Oklahoma City talk radio station. He said, quote,
It's business, right? I mean, we're talking about a $1 billion athletic department. It's not the best thing for Rodney Anderson, but and I understand that, but it's the best thing for the brand, end quote. This kind of thinking is exactly what's enabling and fueling this witch, or I like to call it a warlock hunt. We can't have bad press. Label him a racist and let's just be done with it. Well, Anderson's story was already trending all over the country. Taglines included the words Anderson, star running back, and rape. Can you imagine what would have happened if the University of Oklahoma prematurely suspended him for rape? He would have been finished. But we've seen it handled that way literally dozens of times over the last 2 months. The DA's office announced yesterday they're not going to file charges. What? What an outrage. Is it? Text messages were found showing that the accuser was lying. No. No, the accuser must be believed. No. Witness interviews reported that the accuser thought Anderson was, quote, a nice guy for not going all the way with her that night. It was only after Anderson stopped responding to her advances that she decided to accuse him of rape. This is a story that is a perfect example of a couple of things. First of all, never predetermine someone's fate based off an accusation. The accuser should be treated seriously and fairly, but so should the accused. Second, this rush to save face and protect the brand is creating a lynch mob mentality that must stop. The University of Oklahoma, congratulations, you handled this the right way. Maybe you're a trailblazer that the rest of the country can follow.
Friday, December 15th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly is joining us. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. His latest book, Killing England is perfect for the holidays. Bill, as I was thinking about all of this stuff yesterday with Tavis Smiley now, which I don't know if he's guilty or innocent, but he came out and said, I didn't do it. And if a former relationship with somebody is going to be terms for dismissal, we're really in trouble, and I want to defend myself. And we're starting to see now a pushback. And as I was thinking about this, Bill, it reminds me of Emmett Till. Emmett Till was killed, and everybody knows, because a woman said he whistled at her, made a catcall, and he was killed in horrific ways. 60 years later, that woman says, okay, well, he didn't really whistle at me. She was lying.
Sure. You know, it's interesting because I did my commentary yesterday on BillO'Reilly.com almost the same as you did it 2 seconds ago. It's almost the same.
Yeah, well, it is the same. We just are writers. We don't have writers. We just listen to you and we just transcribe it.
All right, well, that's good. I'm very flattered. But I took it a step further in the sense that every person in this country is now going to be affected by this warlock business, as you put it, because it's coming after the president of the United States. And now that the Russian thing has fallen apart, then they cannot put that back together again. That's done. That the anti-Trump, hate-Trump people are saying, all right, we're going to get them with the women. Now, I understand that there is going to be a story breaking today along the lines of what you just laid out with Oklahoma. But this story is going to be women coming forward saying we were offered money to say that Donald Trump molested us. I understand it's going to break today.
Is this the tape that you have been talking about?
Yeah, this has to do with the tape. But I understand the tape is not going to be put out today. The women will come forth today. But it's the same scenario that I've been saying since last April when you were the only one to have me on after they did this to me. All right? And I said back then, this is a fraud. Now, that is my case. I don't know what happened in the other cases. And as you said, all accused are guilty by headline. It's guilt by headline. And Americans have got to turn against that, or we're going to lose the entire country, because this is not going to stop. You know, consensual, whatever it may be, is lumped in with the most horrendous crimes. And it's not going to stop, because the lawyers know that they can now make these accusations, ruin people's lives, get money, lots of money, just for the accusations. And this is running wild. And if people don't understand how serious this is, when it goes to the president of the United States, again, I do not know what Donald Trump did or did not do. All right. But there are women who are going to say they were offered significant money. All right. In one case, $200,000 to say that Trump did something.
Okay, first of all, I don't know whether you're using like a 1960s phone. I feel like I'm calling the past and Ted Kennedy, because it's, or Jack Kennedy, because it's fading in and out on me.
I'm in Nevada, and extraterrestrials have surrounded me.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's true. Is there a landline? Can you go to an old-fashioned landline anywhere there, Bill?
Yeah, let me see. On the break.
Okay, on the break, redial up. Okay, so let me first give you credit. You said, I think 2 weeks ago, that the sex thing would be the angle for 2018 2018 on the president. And you're exactly right. That is exactly what they're doing. However, the problem with the president is, he is... He's doing what Roy Moore did. He's changing his story. Okay, I said that on the bus, and it was horrible, and it was locker room talk. Now it's, I didn't say that. That's fake news. Come on.
Well, wait a minute, though. He didn't come out and say that. That was a report. That was a report. So if you got, it wasn't like Trump held a press conference and said that. He didn't. It was reported.
So you don't believe
anonymous source.
You don't believe that either.
I don't look. I don't believe any anonymous source. I want to make that quite clear. Once the word anonymous source or sources say, or we can't tell you who they are, I don't believe it. Because it is proven time and time and time again that these newspapers primarily use this crap.
So wait. So then we shouldn't have, the Post should not have run Watergate with Deep Throat?
Well, wait a minute now. It's a whole different ball game, because what's his name, Bradley, wouldn't allow the stories to go on just Deep Throat. They had to be corroborated by somebody else. Now, sometimes those people were named and sometimes they weren't. But in this climate now, all right, where anonymous sources are being used to destroy all the time, and we've already seen how many stories, Beck, in the last 2 weeks there have been 10 major stories from CNN and all of these others that have been true bogus. All of them were on anonymous sources. All of them.
Right. Now, do you give...
How many do we need?
So do you give... is there a difference to you between shoddy journalism that comes back and says correction and fake news?
Sometimes there's a difference, because journalists can make mistakes. But I'm telling you that whenever you see anonymous sources used and no corroboration, you cannot believe that.
If you had three sources that remain anonymous, but they all three sources corroborated this, I mean, that's really what happened in the Washington Post. They would not have their name used, but they did verify.
It depends. It depends who it is, who's doing it. Look, the Watergate story turned out to be correct, but not all of the reportage was correct.
Correct.
All right. And there was a crisis in the Washington Post. some of the stories that Woodward and Bernstein put forth weren't true.
Yes.
But now you have an industry, and the industry is, hey, Trump, get Trump out of office. It's
yes.
an industry.
Right.
All right? So it's a whole different climate now in this country. And I know, I mean, look, every time I see a story coming out of CNN or the New York Times, I know that the purpose of that story is to injure Trump or anybody who supports Trump. 91% of all of the nightly news stories on Trump for the last 6 months, 91%
have
been negative.
I know.
So this is a scandal. It's a journalist scandal that now ties into the Warlock business that you mentioned. And I'm telling everybody on BillO'Reilly.com and your program and other programs that I go on, this is going to damage the United States of America in a way that I don't know if we're going to recover from in the next 10 years if it doesn't stop.
I agree. And I went further on my show last night. I did about 10 minutes on what's coming in 2018 and 2019 technologically. And if we don't solve this problem now and start rooting ourselves in a rule of law and fairness and a chance to defend yourself, it's chaos. It's absolute chaos coming soon.
Wait do you see next year's midterms? What do you see what happens? Because right now all of the ops are going into okay, let's talk to every girlfriend the guy ever had on both sides.
Yeah.
And find out if he ever acted untoward. It doesn't matter whether it was 40 years ago. It doesn't matter. If we can get a headline on Drudge, or if we can sell it to the Washington Post, and they'll come into town, and we can win. All right? It's not about issues anymore. It's about who can destroy the other first.
And I don't know. When we're going to take a break and come back and talk to you about Roy Moore, because I'm not sure that that is going to win every time. More with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com in a second. If you've been thinking about your home security, no better time than get it right now. SimplySafe.com is tremendous. They have put together a massive security arsenal for your home. It's a special package that is at a special price. It has entry sensors, glass break sensors, motion sensors, everything you need to stop somebody from getting into your home. SimpliSafe. Now for the holidays, they are giving you an incredible offer, $200 off this hand-picked security package. It is complete protection for your home. Check it out yourself at SimpliSafeBeck.com. Best value in the business, and the 24/7 monitoring is only $14.95 a month. There is no contracts, so you can stop paying that at any time and, you know, just have the alarm go off without the police called if you'd like. And you own the system. It's SimpliSafeBeck.com. Update your security. No wires, nothing. Hello, welcome to the 21st century. It's SimpliSafeBeck.com. $200 discount on the SimpliSafe home security pick. It is SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Welcome back to the program from BillO'Reilly.com and the author of Killing England, A Great Christmas Gift. It's Mr. Bill O'Reilly. Bill.
Yo.
I don't think that... I think we learned a lot from Roy Moore's, you know, self-destruction this week, which continues, by the way. He still hasn't conceded. Tell me what you learned from the Roy Moore thing.
Bad candidates usually lose. That's what I learned.
Okay, good.
You have to be a really bad candidate
even
to lose.
At 50 Beck, you know me. He wasn't a good. He was not a good candidate. He did not defend himself to the level where people were believing him. He was saying crazy stuff.
I think this is actually
a really good sign. You know, I think the left just expected the right just to, you know, rally behind him. And quite honestly, I did too, because I thought the candidate against him was so bad that
he was bad.
You know, that I thought that they might, but it showed that, no, you can't just run anyone.
Well, you know what? I swung that election because I said to, you know, millions of people, I wouldn't vote for either of them. And I think that's what happened.
You did it.
You know, O'Reilly's right. I just can't get down and vote for either of these people.
You know, what what I enjoy about you is your humility. It's awesome.
You know, I have to work at that, Beck. It's not something that comes
you
easy.
You might want to try a little harder. What do you think of him not conceding?
Well, what else does this guy have to do besides ride the horse around Alabama? I mean, he has nothing else to do. So, you know, that's what these people are. They, you know, after this, Roy Moore disappears forever.
And Steve Bannon, can you say the same?
You know, Bannon, I never bought into the fact that when somebody shows up at a political campaign, no matter who it is, Charles Barkley, Bannon, anybody, that any American voter is going to, "Ooh, I'm voting for him because Charles Barkley told me to."
Yes.
I mean, nobody does that.
Correct.
You just said you swung the election. What are you talking about?
Well, nobody but him.
I swung the election in a way that was not endorsing anyone. If you followed my reasoning.
All right. Okay. Okay. I got it. I got it.
Okay.
We're so far beneath you, Bill, that we can't follow.
I think that's unfair to both you and Stu.
Oh, thank you.
You guys aren't beneath me.
Right.
You're not. I mean, you keep up pretty well.
Wow. Thank you for that, Your Royal Highness.
You're welcome. It's
all right. So has the idea of Trumpism been discredited? And I mean it this way. What works for Donald Trump doesn't work for other people. I mean, it's not an ideology. It is a guy.
Sure. But he's got to change. You know, in the next segment, maybe we can get into that because I know you're up against a break. And by the way, I need you to give me to do me a favor and think about this when we come back. I need to order breakfast soon, and I don't know what to have. Can you guys make some suggestions? I'm 3 hours behind you in Nevada here, so I need some suggestions.
We'll do a web poll on that one, Bill.
Hang on, I just got a tweet in. Somebody said arsenic.
<I didn't. laughs> How cruel.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing we hear when your program goes on to air is love.
Yeah.
So remind that listener, please.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what you said about Russia a few minutes ago, that you thought that was over. Also, tax reform. What the heck is Marco Rubio doing? Also, maybe we'll get a little into Star Wars and Churchill coming up.
I hope so.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Before we get into things, I want to ask you, and I also want to alert Bill O'Reilly to this story. I want you to go to glennbeck.com right now. I'm going to do a monologue next hour that you need to hear. It is based on a video that you will find on the front page of glennbeck.com. It is from Sweden, and it is the most disturbing video I think I have seen, because it takes us right back to the 1930s. It is the Netherlands doing a study on how much is a life worth, and it's a TV report with a Down syndrome guy. Who is just standing there with some other reporter and a guy from the government saying, "Look, this is how much this guy is costing all of us," and they're talking about the Down syndrome guy, and he's following it, but he doesn't understand the ramifications of what they're saying. Is, you know, we should eliminate people like this. It is horrifying video.
And you need to stand for life right now. We are going down the same path that we did in the 1930s, except this time we have the technology to do it. So please go to glenbeck.com and share it with a friend. And we'll talk about it coming up in a half an hour or so. Bill O'Reilly, Donald Trump, you just said, needs to change. How do you mean?
Well, you know, we were talking about the anonymous sources situation and how that's being used to diminish everything that President Trump does. And by the way, you know, a guy like Brian Ross, who I've known for years, who got suspended at ABC for doing a report that wasn't true based on anonymous sources. Ross has the right, once the source misleads him, to tell the world who the source was.
And he should.
And ABC should have ordered him to do that.
Yes.
Okay? So that tells you that there's an investment by these networks in diminishing Trump. So it's beyond any reasonable doubt. So the Trump's got to understand that what's coming now is a series of personal attacks. They'll try to find more women to come out and say whatever they say. Now, this report today, if it comes out, that five women are going to say they were offered money to besmirch the, Donald Trump, not when after he was president, but before. If this comes out, this will do a long way to providing some defense for Trump. But
yes,
he's got to have a SWAT team up there just to basically, every time something comes out, to say it's a lie, it's not true, and here are the facts. He's got to meet it head on. And if he doesn't, the snowball's already rolling down, and, you know, the strategy's already out, and Schumer and Pelosi are going to just ram it down and hope that he can't survive, and that's what's going to happen.
Let me go to this. He also has to be based in reality. And I know you don't think there's anything with the Russia thing. I think there is with the FBI. I think there's something with Russia with Trump's people, and I think there was with the Clintons. Where it is, how much it is, how damning it is, but there's been an infiltration campaign going on by Putin, and they don't care. They're doing it to all of us, all of America, and all of the politicians that have power. And there's a new report out that shows that Donald Trump will not recognize this campaign of disinformation or influence operations because he's taking it that it's, you know, personal, and that didn't win the election, and he's not paying attention. That's dangerous, Bill.
Okay, but that's two different things.
I know it is, but he doesn't.
I agree that Putin will do everything he can to undermine the United States. All right, and everybody and anybody that know that is a fool.
That's Donald Trump.
No, Putin. Putin will. Well, okay.
Yeah, Donald Trump will not recognize that.
Separate it right now, because we don't know. We're not talking to Trump. We don't know. If I could interview him, I would find out. But all right, so you start with Putin is trying to undermine the country. Okay, we all know that. All right, now is Trump refusing to look at data that would prove that? If that's true, and again, we have anonymous source reporting here, that's bad, all right, if that's true. But if it's collusion with his campaign, and he already is on the record saying there wasn't any and I didn't do anything, he doesn't want to hear that over his grapefruit every morning over and over, and I understand that. So there's two different things in play here.
I agree. And I've been trying to separate them. And the American people are having a hard time separating them because we're all playing politics.
Right.
And of course, the FBI and the press are not separating them because they're playing politics. But it is vital to America that we separate them.
Yes.
This is going on and somebody must address it. And the only one who can is the president.
Well, look, I mean, you've got to basically have some confidence in the national security apparatus and General Kelly as the chief of staff, that they're not fools, and Mattis in the Defense Department, that they know Russia's an adversary. I mean, these are pretty smart, good men. So I'm not in a hopeless situation. I think they know what's happening, but they just have to articulate it a little bit better.
Okay. Let me switch to tax. It looked like yesterday that it was all going to go through and we were going to have this for Christmas. And now Rubio is coming out and saying, no, I won't vote for this.
All right. You know, Rubio wants to run and challenge Trump in 2020. All right. So that's number one. Everybody should know that the senator from Florida is thinking about mounting a primary challenge. So, number two, Rubio wants to get out that he is protecting the families. He wants a higher deduction for child care. So this puts him on the side of all the families. Number three, I believe that Rubio will compromise and vote for the bill.
Yeah, if he's the guy holding it up, it's not going to sit well with people.
I mean, and he doesn't want to kill his chances.
No.
By killing, you know, and that would. So no. I think it's politics as usual.
Any comment on the Disney Fox situation?
It's all about content. It's all about Disney wanting to rule the world and, you know, bringing in a number of things that give them programs that they can stream for money. On the other side, they just wanted the money.
Yeah.
And they got it.
Disney is going to come up with its own kind of Netflix scenario.
Yeah, Hulu.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Hulu hoop.
Yes.
Remember the Hulu hoop?
Yes.
And I think we have pictures of Beck in the Hulu hoop. I think there are.
No, I don't believe there are.
No.
And last question for you. Churchill, the movie Darkest Hour, I saw it last night. Tremendous. Tremendous, Bill. You will love it. It's an absolute must-see. Gary Oldman is he deserves an Oscar. I will never watch him accept it, he deserves it. He brings Churchill absolutely to life. Mm-hmm. It is so well done. It is so well researched. I mean, it nails it. It taught me stuff, and I've read a lot about Churchill. It taught me stuff I didn't know about Churchill. And brings World War II and what they were really facing when he was just in office for like 10 days. It really brings it to light in a whole new way. It's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know you love my book, Killing Patton, where we talked about Churchill extensively. And you keep calling me, and I will make time to talk to you about Killing Patton and Killing England.
Yeah, well,
that's nice.
Because
nice
I know you want more.
Well, I know. I actually just want to show you the toe tag that I have of General Patton's that shows that your book is inaccurate.
Yeah, sure.
I do have it. I've told you this before.
We got into, you know what the real, and this is not in the movie, but the real interesting thing about Churchill was how Stalin humiliated him and how Churchill, a man of tremendous pride, had to deal not only with Hitler, but with Stalin. And
Roosevelt.
And Roosevelt. But Roosevelt wasn't in business to humiliate Churchill.
No.
The other two were.
Yeah.
So, good. I'm glad you liked the movie. I will go to see it on your recommendation.
Are you going
to
see Churchill first or Star Wars? Do you go to a Star Wars movie?
You know, Star Wars, I'm not a big kind of extraterrestrial guy.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine seeing you in the... I can't imagine seeing you. Do you ever go to movies where people kind of turn around and they're like, and you can hear them saying, that's freaking Bill O'Reilly behind me.
Yeah, I usually kind of slip in just after the movie starts, so I don't, you know, frighten anyone.
What's your
I really don't want to frighten anybody.
It is like going to a movie and seeing Bela Lugosi.
It's like The Blob. Remember The Blob attacked a movie theater and everybody had to run out?
No.
When I go in, that's what happened.
So what's your favorite, you know, just kind of movie? Just a movie, not a film. What's your favorite movie?
The Godfather 1 and 2 are my favorite of all time. They're just amazing movies. You can watch them over and over again and learn every time you watch them. And I like the Bonds, the early James Bonds, were just so stylish. And you know, now they're blowing up everything.
But, oh, my gosh. Daniel Craig is the best Bond yet.
You like him?
Oh, I love him.
But he never smiles, Beck, and he doesn't have any humor.
Because...
blows things up.
he's a hurt man inside. Bill, Killing England is available. Tell us about the Christmas stuff you got going.
Okay, if you go to BillO'Reilly.com, and we'd like you to do that for my essay of yesterday about Donald Trump and how he's going to be attacked and what he has to do about it. If you go in there and you buy three premium membership gift certificates, you get four free O'Reilly books, any four of you want. All right, so that's seven gifts, Beck, that you can spread out all over the place for a very reasonable price. And we have the We Say Merry Christmas floor mats, which are flying out of here because everybody wants to say Merry Christmas, sends a nice message. So we got lots of good stuff on BillO'Reilly.com, and I appreciate you letting me promote it. It's very kind of you to do that.
Thank you very much, Bill. I think we're going to try to have you on Tuesday of next week. I don't know if our producers have talked to you about that, but we'd like to have you on.
Yes, they have, and I'm delighted, as they say,
delighted.
In Monaco, France.
Right. All right, well, it will be quite a bash on Tuesday. Thank you, Bill. Bill O'Reilly.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me in. Bye.
BillO'Reilly.com is the place for all the Christmas specials he's running right now, as well as the book Killing England. One quick update to what we were talking about, and I agree with Bill on his Marco Rubio analysis. The issue he was worried about was $1,100 per child was the tax credit. They're just coming out now. It looks like it's been increased to $1,400 per child, which is about a 27% increase. Will that be enough to win Rubio over? We don't know, but that is believed to be the intent as to why that's gone up. We don't know what else has changed in the bill yet, but they are going to chase that vote. And I cannot believe that Rubio is going to be the one who stands up and stops it.
He will not be John McCain on this.
McCain will stop it. You know, the other issue is McCain and Cochran are both in the hospital. So whether they can actually vote is a whole other situation that's going to be, you know, problematic for multiple reasons outside of the tax bill.
Believe it or not, 2018 is right around the corner. That means come January 1st, your car is going to be another year older and cost you more to fix. And if you are out of the warranty that you got when you bought the car, here's good news. Getting an extended vehicle protection from CarShield can save you thousands. I have a 2008 truck, a F-250 diesel, and I love that thing. And I just love the diesels, and I buy a diesel because it runs forever. And if you use your truck like I use my truck, I want it to run forever until the doors fall off. I want to pass it on to my kids. But when you have to have, let's say the transmission goes on that thing, it's going to cost a fortune. If, you know, the chips start to go on it, they could cost you $1,000. Get the peace of mind that comes with being covered by CarShield. It's what I've done with my trucks. Ultimate and extended coverage, affordable protection that can save you hundreds, even thousands of dollars in covered repair. They even have plans to cover your car's computer, the GPS, the electronics, and everything. So if your car is 3 to 12 years old, doesn't mean you have to pay the high repair bills. You can have your favorite mechanic or dealership do all the work, and CarShield gets them paid directly so you don't have to wait around for a check. Sign up today. They get a special welcome bonus, 24/7 roadside assistance, a rental car when yours is in the shop. It's CarShield. Go there right now. Car Shield, the ultimate protection at 800-CAR-6100. Mention the promo code Beck, or you can just go to carshield.com. Use the promo code Beck, and you're going to save 10%. That's carshield.com, promo code Beck. Deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Have you heard Straight No Chaser, the group Straight No Chaser?
I have not.
Found them yesterday because I heard a song about the Christmas Can Can, which I thought was hysterical. So I just pull them up on iTunes. I think it is a great Christmas album. The one I heard was, I'll Have Another Christmas Album. It doesn't have the Christmas Can Can on it, but it's all a cappella, kind of pentatonics kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But all guys, really, really good. If you're looking for a new Christmas.
And at least what you were playing in the break, kind of jokey?
No, some of it. The Can Can was jokey, and the Mean kind of, One Mr. Grinch is. But
kind of making fun of the holiday songs and such. But
yeah. Not all of it. No, no, no. There's like one on each album like that. But I just thought they were, I thought they were great. We also want to remind you, if you are trying to get into the Christmas spirit with your family, join my family. We are reading The Immortal Nicholas, and you can either get a copy of it or just listen along. We're getting some rave reviews on it, and some people were like, I thought this was all going to be produced like a TV show. No, it's me and my son, sometimes in, you know, the bedroom, reading like we always do. We just brought you into the house, and we're just reading. And the reviews are, I thought it was going to be produced, and I really strangely like this because it's just like we're hanging out together. And that's what it is. Every night we're up to chapter 5. You can binge on them if you are a if you're a subscriber to the Blaze TV. You just go and find them for, I think it's under Glenn's Story Time or something, and join us every night. It happens every night at 7 o'clock, and we're going to be reading until Christmas Eve, and I invite you and your family to join us for The Immortal Nicholas.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
We can't have Dwayne as president? That's not right. President Rock? That's not really right either, but there's part of me that kind of likes it. President Johnson? Yesterday, Variety reported something that we all knew was coming. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, seriously thinking about running for president in 2024. By the way, that would be for the president of the United States, in case you missed that. If you have been living under a rock, Dwayne Johnson, former pro wrestler turned movie star, he's known for, you know, his comedies in, you know, like Baywatch, unintentional comedies like Hercules. But running for president doesn't seem to be a joke. He told Variety he would 100% consider running for office. However, Johnson's fans will have to try to contain themselves because the actor producer has a huge slate of movie and TV projects that will keep him booked for the next few years. So he's not going to be, coincidentally, it has nothing to do with, you know, Donald Trump, you know, running for a second term and somebody getting that. And he just happens to, no, it's just, he happens to be available in 2024. That's as soon as he could do it. Donald Trump ushered in a new era of celebrities that now think, I mean, he could be president. I could be president. But this seems to be more than just celebrity talk from a guy who's, you know, wrestler was named the Rock. You know, their side's probably going to have Tom Hanks, and we'll have the Rock. Anyway, a Washington Post article in 2016 about Johnson's political ambition got people talking. He says he's entertaining the idea purely out of loyalty to the American people. So what are his political credentials? Well, besides none, he says the best thing I can do is continue to listen and learn as much as I can, which is more than you could say for most politicians. So maybe The Rock is onto something there. He used to be a registered Republican. He's now an independent. He lives in Florida, which is an important state for presidential elections. He also has 175 million followers on social media. In just one third, if one third of those showed up to vote for him, he'd have nearly as many popular votes as Trump got in 2016. So maybe it's not so far-fetched. Then again, there are questions, serious questions, about his judgment. May I just say two words, tooth fairy. Judgment? By the way, fun fact, if Dwayne Johnson is elected president in 2024, he would be the third Johnson to occupy the White House, but he also would be the very first Rock.
Friday, December 15th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I posted something at glennbeck.com that I seriously, I mean, unless you're driving, I want you to stop everything you're doing and go to glennbeck.com right now and watch. Then I want you to tweet it or Facebook it and ask everyone you know to do the same. The Mesopotamians didn't believe that they didn't believe in good and evil. They didn't think that there was a force of evil. And there's a lot of Americans that don't believe that there is a force of evil. I happen to. But the Mesopotamians believed their concept of good and evil was health and illness, and that you wanted to stay away from things because you could catch that illness. You could catch that evil, and you would be in a state of decay. We have caught a bad case of evil, and it is spreading like a virus, like a plague. And it is happening the same way the world caught the last bad case of evil in the 1930s. I want you to go. This is so important. Please, especially if you have anyone in your family who is handicapped at all. I've posted a video with the Dutch National Institute for Public Health. And what they have done is they have put together a little video with a guy who has Down syndrome. Now, right now, we are talking about early testing to abort every child with Down syndrome. In Iceland, Reykjavik is the first place on Earth to have a zero birth rate of Down syndrome. And it's all because of abortions. They do early testing and then they abort any child with Down syndrome. I do not wish anyone to be born with a deformity or born with Down syndrome. However, if you have ever spent any time around anyone with Down syndrome, I'm telling you right now, and excuse the expression, but it is appropriate. If you have been around people with Down syndrome, you will recognize quickly you are retarded, not them. They have their spirit and their joy, and what they bring to humanity is beyond anything that any of us will ever bring to humanity. So there is this push now to eradicate. And the Dutch National Institute for Public Health, in this video, they have one of their scholars, their number crunchers, and they have another gentleman, like a reporter, who is standing there with a man with Down syndrome. And he is listening to this, but I don't believe he fully understands what is happening here. He is seeing that he costs a lot of money, that it costs the National Institute of Health, it costs the average taxpayer a lot to keep him going. And he realizes, wow, I'm pretty special. I'm expensive. That's not the case they're making. They're making the case that people like him should be eliminated. Stu, can you translate a little bit, read the, I'm going to play this video and just read the back and forth on the screen. Go ahead and roll this video, please.
40,000 euro per year, approximately, per downer. They're calling them downers. Yes, per person. So they cost us, as a society, 48,000 euros per year.
Whoa.
And then the Down person says, wow,
that's a considerable amount, but is it high compared to normal persons? Well, you can calculate that by taking the big number, $90 billion euros, and divide this amount by the number of citizens in the Netherlands. And there are approximately 17 million, and that will give you approximately an amount of 5,000 euros per year per person. So you could say that the Down syndrome person is 10 times as expensive than we are. Those expenses are indeed 10 times as high. Are you a valuable man? And he said, yes, I had not expected that. The Down syndrome person in the video says, yes, I had not expected that. So they're sitting there telling him he's way too expensive to support.
And he's smiling back. This is...
God, that is... I mean, it is revolting.
Mankind has caught the same disease. It caught in the early 20th century, and it is the same kind of mentality that we can make, you know, the Uberman, that we can get rid of all of man's flaws through technology. Back then, we couldn't do it. We can now. But it still involves killing. It still involves killing those with Down syndrome while they're in the womb. How do you put a price tag on a human being? How do you not see the value? We are in this time once again where it's all about the collective. We have to think alike. We have to act alike. We have to agree on everything. No, that's not what made the world the world. What made the world is we all think differently. We all have different talents. We all have different points of view. It's the grind that sharpens us. If you're not being ground, you're... People are trying to take all pain away, and I understand. I understand. I really understand. I don't want to... I have a child of special needs. The pain of your heart as a parent is beyond understanding. Only a parent of special needs can truly understand the pain of the parent that never, ever goes away. But the joy is greater. We've been down this road before. And it was the Dutch. It was the Dutch that were really on the cutting edge of euthanasia and killing the handicapped. He goes on in this to say, the only other class that cost us anywhere near this are the old, that, you know, once they have to be taken care of all the time, they can't just go to the doctor and get a pill, then they really start to grind on the finances of the country and start costing the taxpayers. Well, what did Germany first do? They killed the handicapped. And then they killed the incurables. They killed the elderly. Anybody who was costing too much money. We are not in a financial panic yet, but I warn you, we are coming to one. And when we do, if we don't know what is true, if we don't know what life means, we are creating artificial life, super intelligent artificial life right now. And they're debating on how to somehow or another keep it in a cage so it doesn't end up killing all of us. How could we possibly teach artificial life the meaning of life and that they should protect humans and never turn against humans when we don't value all life ourselves? Oh, that I had the voice of an angel. If I could shake the earth to wake people up. But it doesn't work that way. My job is to warn you. My job is to show you what's happening and bring you perspective from my point of view. I've taken my job seriously, perhaps too seriously at times, for a long time. And I am warning you with everything in you, with everything in me. Please, please, please get all of the lies out of your own life. Please do not just listen to the things that reconfirm your worldview. Please do the things that make you uncomfortable so you can learn the other side and you can understand the other side. Because the only way you can defeat the other side is if you know it. Please, if you don't believe in evil, at least treat it like a nasty virus like the Mesopotamians did. Because the world is catching a killer flu. It is a plague. And it almost wiped decency and kindness and humanity. It almost wiped it off the face of the earth. But there was one group of people that stood, that had the resources and the power. And that was the new world rushing over to save the old world. That was us. We don't have the power. We don't have the money. We are not together. We don't even know what's true anymore. We will throw ourselves in the arms of Putin if he reaffirms our worldview. Please go to glennbeck.com today and watch this video and share it with as many people as you can. Find ways to make this go viral. Please wake people up to the road on which we are currently traveling. All right, I want to tell you about a gift that you can send to people, or you can send to yourself. It's Sherry's Berries, and today only, you can double the berries for $5 more. $5 more, you double the berries. No matter who you are shopping for this holiday season, Sherry's Berries has the perfect gift for absolutely everyone on your list. This is, I really think, you know, those people that you have to send something to, you know, that you want to send something to, but whether they're business, you know, relations or friends or something, you're like, what are we going to send the so-and-sos? Trust me on this, please. Sherry's Berries. They're going to love it. It is so good. They're $19.99 plus shipping and handling, and it's a bunch of really big, almost apple size berries dipped in white and milk and dark chocolate. They are so good, and they have more than just berries. They have snowman brownie pops. They have cheesecake Christmas trees and chocolate truffles, all to die for. So if you want to send something this holiday season, now is the time to do it. And by the way, $19.99 plus today only, you can double the berries for $5 more. So go to berries, berries.com, berries.com. Use the promo code Glenn.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
There are so many things that we can do to put the meaning back into the holidays. I urge you to find something that you can do in your own neighborhood or locally. We went up to the ranch, and we were going to this, you know, this great restaurant that we love. You know, it's just a burger joint. We just love it. And there was this Christmas tree, in the foyer you walk in, and it had all these names on it for these kids. And we saw one that, was from, I think a 7-year-old boy. And all he wanted, the wish was a pair of pants and a nice shirt and tie that he could wear to church and a snow shovel. And we thought, wow, look at the humility of this family, that that's what they're asking for. Obviously, he did not want a snow shovel. They needed a snow shovel. And the thing that he was hoping to get, or maybe the parents were hoping to get, was some decent clothes to go to church in. And I pulled that off the tree, and as we were sitting there in the restaurant, we were just eating our burgers. My family got up, and they all went to pull names off the tree, and we went shopping for them. And I urge you to do that, and get your kids to help you to do that. It helps you remind them that they're really pretty blessed. When we come down to it, we're all really blessed. When I was a kid, we were pretty poor. We didn't know we were poor. And that's the way most people are. They grow up, they didn't have it, and they didn't realize it because they didn't focus on it. Focusing on others this holiday season.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to it. Welcome to the program. So glad that you are here. Let's just, it's been so heavy here for the last few minutes. Let's kind of just chat for a while.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I expected the last one to end up in you'll feel good, they'll feel good, and you'll get the best parking spot at the mall. That's where I thought you were going. But
well, I was
it
saving
never
that
there.
For next week, but now you've just blown that.
That's a tradition.
That's a traditional, yeah, but we're not going to go there. Anyway.
All right.
So I went to Plano, Texas yesterday.
Love Plano.
I love Plano, Texas.
It's a great place.
It is unbelievable.
I don't know why we didn't end up on that side of the Metroplex. Plano, McKinney, Frisco, those are all great.
Great
towns. Not that our area sucks. It's just that those are better. Maybe the best place in the country.
Our part is, it's so 2000. The thing about Texas, when you come to Texas, is it's all brand new.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's all brand new.
Well,
you, walk down,
are, yeah.
you walk down the street, Main Street of Plano, Texas. I don't even know it's Main Street. It's like, I don't remember Merchants Avenue, whatever it is. But it's like a brand new city. Mm-hmm. There's like nothing old. I mean, when I say old, nothing like past, what, 2 years, maybe?
It's all really. I mean, it's expanding so fast. I mean, how many people are moving here every year?
The state went from 20 to 28 million almost overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing the growth here. It's amazing.
It's a weird combination. What they've tried to do is not screw up everything with the government.
Yeah.
They've tried to run their state efficiently, and it's worked really well. Texas is a really good shining example of.
It's unbelievable.
Of largely speaking, they're not perfect, but largely speaking, letting limited government and get out of the way of the businesses trying to do their thing, and the economy has increased like crazy.
Tanya and I talked about it last night. I would live in Plano, Texas, if I didn't have kids. I'd live right downtown. I'd live in they've mixed the town, so it's not like a mall. It's like an old town, and there are apartment complexes and townhouses and everything right in the middle of the town, and it's just great. I just loved it.
It's really nice over there.
Had a really weird experience. I told Stu.
Is that where you went to the movie last night in Plano?
You have to go see Churchill.
It sounded really good.
Okay, so it's Darkest Hour.
Uh-huh.
Pat, you are
Is that the one with Gary Oldman?
Yes. No.
I love him
anyway.
And
he brings Oscar.
He's great.
He brings Churchill to life. You will he's funny, powerful, you learn stuff about Churchill you didn't know. You see, it's not only Britain's darkest hour, it's called Darkest Hour. Not only Britain's darkest hour, but his darkest hour. And I did not know about his darkest hour.
And you've studied quite a bit about him.
Yeah, I love Churchill. And it is so good. It's it's a must-see. You know, Tanya, she's not going to Churchill movies on her own. She's not picking that. She was like all the way there. What? Okay, so this is about Churchill, and What? Didn't we just see the Normandy thing? Okay. And you know, she was, you know, normal person, yeah. Normal person. She left, and we talked all the way home, 35-minute drive, about Churchill.
No, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, she was like, that's great. You know, I didn't know this about him, what was true, what wasn't. It's fantastic.
I'll tell you another great movie we just saw last week is The Man Who Invented Christmas. It's a story about how Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol. Tremendous.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of it.
Mostly true, and you know, some of it they...
Where do you find it? It's on Netflix or something?
No, it's at theaters.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not at the good ones, though. It's like, you know, the... The old style with the regular chairs and no food.
Right. That's what I went to last night. I had to go to see this Churchill movie. I had to go to an art house, but it was a brand new art house. It was awful.
Yeah. I never go anymore, except I really wanted to see this movie. So yeah,
same with me. I would have
slummed it
in
one of those old theaters.
Yeah. I went to this place, and it was so weird because it wasn't a chain, and the people were so nasty.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. The people, they practically throw the food. Like, we ordered, you know, it said...
It's not good.
You know, it was the film center. Film center and eatery. And so we thought, okay, we were starving. We're like, okay, we'll just eat at the theater. So we go up, and it's like, we said, do you have food? And they're like, yeah, right here. And they're pointing to the candy counter. And we're like, no, I thought you could have, like, real food. Oh, yeah, it's over there. And so we went over there, and we ordered sandwiches, and the guy said, okay, chicken pesto sandwich and a grilled cheese sandwich, please. And the guy looked at him and went, why me? Why do I have to make it?
You got to be kidding.
No, and I'm like, okay, this is not going to be good.
No.
I think I would have withdrawn my order.
Yeah.
Was it a delicious sandwich? Oh,
it was awful. It was awful. Strangely tasted like spit.
Probably with good reason.
Yeah.
Now you saw Star Wars last night?
Saw Star Wars last night.
Did you love it or
no
just
spoilers?
We're not using any hyperbole.
Glenn is all right. Mr. Spoiler here is concerned.
On Tuesday I'm going to spoil it because I'm going to see it Monday.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I would not put it as my favorite.
He actually gave a good review off air. Give the same review off air.
I would say, to me, it's better than his prequels. It's not as good as the original three.
It's not
to me.
Not even Return of the Jedi, which you didn't really like?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put it there. My initial...
disappointing, but this is good because it's lowering
expectations a little bit.
Yes. I want to go in going,
yes.
Like, I'll give you a couple. Again, this is no spoilers.
I heard there were amazing surprises.
It was an interesting movie. It furthered the story. I generally liked it. There's certain things like there's some of the humor that didn't land with me, and some of like,
and that's
weird
because what's his face isn't involved in it anymore.
Lucas?
Lucas. Yeah. Usually Lucas is like, you're like, what joke is that?
What is he even doing?
What are you doing?
Some of it did, though. I mean, there were good moments of it. There wasn't, you know, anything that was like, oh my gosh, you'll hate it because of X, Y, and Z. There are a couple of interesting storylines that I think our audience would be interested in. There was also like you had the quirky characters that always pop up. There's always a couple of new characters.
Stop with the quirky characters.
No, it's Disney. It's plush toys.
Yeah. And some of them worked, I thought, well. A couple of them where you're like, what did I just see? You know, there were a couple scenes, and this is, again, I'm not going to give you any details at all, but there were a couple scenes where I had this reaction, which was, wait a minute, why didn't they just do this? Wait, why would this happen? Wait, you had those moments where like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why wouldn't X, Y, or Z just have happened there?
Better at the end because they explain why they didn't do that or not?
Not in all cases.
Oh, boy.
But again, like, it's not a perfect movie by any means, but I did enjoy it.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been underwhelmed by the first two efforts of the new series.
And I haven't been.
I did not love
Force Awakens. I liked it.
Okay, so I have...
I don't love these new characters.
Yeah, I have not been overwhelmed by them. It's not like I can't wait to watch them all in a series. And you know what I mean? It kind of set apart. But I guess because the first three, or the second three, you know, the one, two, and three episode...
Yeah.
because those were so god awful.
Yeah, yeah.
That yeah. I actually look at The Force Awakens and I'm like, okay, well, this is okay. This is good.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. I feel like I, in my head, liked The Force Awakens better than the new one that just came out, the Last Jedi. But in my
the one where Harrison Ford dies.
Yes.
Yeah, that.
So hopefully everybody's seen that already.
Everybody's seen that.
I mean, there is a time. Limit.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. Yeah, so I guess it's okay. But still, I don't know that I would blurt it out. But anyway, okay. Force Awakens. I think like I looked at The Force Awakens as a rescuing of the series. Like I was so mm-hmm. happy it wasn't horrible.
Yes. True.
That
yes.
like it yes. felt like an incredible win yes. to me. Yeah. And I liked Rogue One, even though it
was okay.
I liked it. This one, you know, it's in the mold of the last two that have come out here with Rogue mm-hmm. One and The Force Awakens. It's in that vicinity. I think a lot of people will like it more than those.
I just want to be blown away again by a Star Wars movie. That's all I want.
Here's what you have to remember. Here's what you have to remember. The middle one is the hardest. If they are writing for an arc, the middle, think of it yeah. as a three-act play. Nobody wants to go see a three-act play and just watch the middle.
Well, I don't know. Right. Empire Strikes Back was the best of the whole series, as far for my money.
Absolutely.
By far the best of the series. You know, and that was a middle.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, people are saying...
the hardest one, because what they're doing is they're arcing to the last. The yeah. first one should mm-hmm. be really good. The last one should be good. The middle has to have
a
lot of...
It's a transitional movie.
Yeah, it's a transitional movie.
I mean,
they're wrapping up. They're mm-hmm. They're giving you a little bit more from the first, but they're setting it all up to wrap up on the third.
And one of the things yeah. I think people like about Empire Strikes Back is it's that it didn't have a movie feel to it. It wasn't about... at the end, like you're like, holy crap, this is not going well. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's mm-hmm. the vibe of it. I think you get out of Empire.
But you have to remember when Empire, and Pat, you'll be able to relate to this. You won't, Stu, I don't think. When we were growing up, when there was a Godfather 2, everybody was like, what? No, that will destroy it. No, mm-hmm. no movie ever had a sequel that was good.
Right.
If
right.
it was mm-hmm. such and such two, it was Kiss of Death.
It used to be like that. Now yeah. every big movie is a sequel or a remake yeah. or a yeah. prequel.
And sometimes they exceed the original.
Yeah. Yeah, it does happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. This one, you know, some people are saying it's the best Star Wars movie since 1980, which would be Empire.
That's pretty good.
Which, if that's,
I mean, if that's true,
that's not
I'd be
the impression
happy with that.
I got. I would put it in the middle of the pack. But again,
but
it's a
don't
great
like
series.
These movies, do you?
Yeah, he does.
I love Star Wars. Yeah, I'm a big
Star Trek. He doesn't like.
Why?
Right. Although you like the new movie.
I do like the new series of movies on Star Trek. I don't dislike Star Trek. I'm not a big...
what is the one that you don't like?
Superhero movies.
Fantasy
and superhero. Like Harry yeah. Potter type movies? No. I'm yeah. out. You know, Lord of the Rings.
So
I don't
so
like that
good.
At all.
Lord of the Rings is great.
And I'm out on almost all superhero movies.
So am
there
I
There are
now.
Exceptions to it, but not,
I've
not many.
I've finally given up on superhero
no, movies.
It's
like
just them. Not good.
Just they, not they think, good.
No, there no wait. You cannot put DC in the same category as Marvel.
I can.
You can't.
And I do.
Well, no, you can't.
Yes, I do.
DC is...
Thor DC or is it Marvel? Thor.
Thor is Marvel.
Ragnarok or whatever?
Yeah, Marvel.
I didn't really like that.
So I liked it, but you look at, I mean, you know, any company that says, I don't know, Ben Affleck would be a good Batman. That's yeah. just, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you
their
had
judgment is suspect.
The perfect Batman series with, what's his name that did it?
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Mike, that was, yeah. that is a masterpiece of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Don't come and revisit and reinvent and do it with Ben frickin' Affleck.
I have a six-year-old son, and what happens sometimes in our where they'll be playing, and he'll be out with all of his like action figures or whatever, and I'll be like, all right, we gotta go, we gotta put them away, and he'll take a big scoop of them, all of them together, all different characters, and he'll just dump them into a box where they all stay. That is what the preview of the new Avengers movie looks like. They just took all the action figures they could find and threw them on the screen. There's like 700 action figures mm-hmm. on the screen, all blowing things up and making sarcastic jokes at each other. It looks so
I don't like it.
Stupid to
I don't
me.
Like it. I liked it when they were separate. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked it when yeah. they were separate and we were learning the storylines. It's like, you watch The Flash, Pat?
No.
Okay. Flash is great. Rafe and I watch it every week. And The Flash is great, except when they bring the Arrow and Supergirl and they bring them all together and it's like, okay, we're not watching it. I don't care what they're doing together. Yeah. I don't care.
I watched The Arrow until everybody on that show became a superhero. Literally, everyone evolved into a superhero. It's like, okay,
The
I'm
Flash
out.
Is kind of getting there, too.
Really?
It's getting there. I watched The Arrow until everyone developed a case of syphilis. Because
there's that, too.
I mean,
wow.
My gosh, everybody was, okay, all right. Can you do something superhero-like?
I think it's one of those things where you had that original premise, and the premise sort of runs for a while, and then you have to do exciting things to change it. Like, someone pointed out that show Last Man on Earth, and you watched that, right, Glenn?
Yeah.
Last Man on Earth. It's like now Last Man on Earth plus all the other people on Earth. Because it's just like he's interacting with more people than I do in my real life.
I really like the first season,
Because you were raving about that for a while.
I loved that. I made it about three seasons in.
Oh.
I think it's up to five, but the first season is just, the first episode is epically funny. Epic.
Yeah, I just say, got a best audio clips of the year.
Today?
And of all time today. Yes. Coming up immediately following the show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network.
That's a big show.
Yeah, that's a big show. We're going to do that next week, are we not?
We can, I guess.
Oh, I thought we were.
Okay. Didn't know anything about that, but if you'd like to introduce that concept.
Copycatters. Come up with your
damn
own
right.
thing.
All we have to do is take his show, his clips. We don't have to work all day.
Let's just air it. Well, here's an interesting clip from a show. It's called Pat Gray Unleashed. And then we just play the whole show.
Just one clip, 3 hours long. It begins today with Pat Gray Unleashed.
On the Blaze Radio and TV networks. Also, if you are on Facebook today, want to be appearing with Pat on a Facebook Live, go to the Pat Gray Unleashed Facebook page. Obviously, sign up there and subscribe or friend, or as he would say, thumb up him on Facebook.
Thumb up me.
And you can watch it there today.
All right. Okay, there's a special going on at Goldline. I've been in business with Goldline for 10 years. I have never heard them say this. They have a special going on right now. The reason why they can do this, because gold is the price of gold, is because they have just partnered with A-Mark, and that's one of the largest publicly traded precious metal wholesalers. And so because of they're so huge, they not only can buy a much bigger bulk, but they also, stop doing some of the behind the house stuff that they could save money on. So now they're passing the savings on to you. They have slashed prices on its most popular products to prices I have never seen in 10 years. If you are a gold person like I am, now is the time to call them. 866-GOLDLINE. Call them now. 1-866-GOLDLINE. Take advantage of this unbelievable special. The price of gold is up, but the price at GOLDLINE is down. So call 866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-465-3546. Read their important risk information, but call them or go to goldline.com now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
This is huge news. It just broke with The Hill. It's what Bill O'Reilly was talking about today. You need to read it. I just tweeted it out at Glenn Beck. It's from The Hill. It's an exclusive.
Big deal.
Lisa Bloom was paying off people that would say bad things about Donald Trump. She's also the one who got Bill O'Reilly fired. Huge news.